What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Lakers Outsiders podcast. I am Gary Kester, joined today by my partner in crime, my pal Gasol, Hani Ahmadian. Hani, Lakers get another win today, man. How's it feel to be on a little win streak while you're tweeting the games?
You know what? I'm feeling really good. I'm in a good rhythm. My teammates are giving me the ball. And, you know, shots are just falling. And, yeah, I'm feeling good about four straight wins. Feeling good about the number six ranked Nevada Wolfpack.
I got to start muting you before you can get those in.
And nobody on the site has called me the B word in a huddle recently. So
we're gonna keep that behind closed doors. Our locker room disputes. unlike somebody out there. All right. Well. The Lakers get another big win today, beating the Portland Trail Blazers for the second time this season, 2 out of 3 now. They won't play again until the very last game of the season in April. So it'll be a while before the Lakers see Portland, but they picked up their second win against them this season, 126-117 behind LeBron James. You guys might have heard LeBron is pretty good at the game of basketball. He scored 44 points tonight. And passed Wilt Chamberlain on the scoring list. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But before we get started, remember, if you like the Lakers Outsiders podcast, you can always find it on LakersOutsiders.com, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Podbean, and YouTube. And if you subscribe to us on iTunes, please leave us a review, give us some feedback. We always really, really appreciate those. And they do a lot of good things for us. So we really, really would appreciate some iTunes reviews. And I've said this before, if you're a first-time listener, if you leave an iTunes review, you get to basically choose the punishment of the Lakers Outsiders team member that has the worst record tweeting the games, a.k.a. Dylan Heiser. So you get to choose what the punishment's going to be at the end of the season. And, it'll be a lot of fun. So leave that in an iTunes review if you so choose. We're always taking suggestions on that, mainly because it's going to be Dylan and not me or Hani or Jacob. But so go do that and subscribe to us on those platforms. And all right, let's dive on in. Hani, you tweeted the game. You got to witness it firsthand and tweet out all caps and different moments and all that fun stuff. I mean, what was it like for you watching LeBron just put together? I mean, was this LeBron's first like true LeBron game as a Laker?
I think so. I think we've seen a lot of flashes of LeBron showing how dominant he is, whether it's a quarter or a half of a game where he's just impacting everything on the court. This was the first game I thought this year where for however many minutes he played, but basically for the four quarters of this game, he was in total control. And that goes both ways as well. It's offensively, he was amazing. He was hitting shots from the perimeter, but he was also driving, getting fouled, getting to the free throw line, making his free throws. And then defensively, I think it was the most engaged he's been all year. I think he had 3 blocks for the game. And even beyond that, he was just playing really sound defense all around. There was one possession where he was guarding Damian Lillard on the perimeter, and Dame took about like 15 seconds to try and dribble around him and throw up a floater that missed. It was just kind of amazing to see, you know, LeBron. It was everything we know about LeBron as the best player in the world. And we get so used, like people in general get so used to how great of a player he is, but when he's on your favorite team and you haven't really seen this before, and we haven't seen anything like this for the Lakers since maybe the last year of prime Kobe before he blew out his Achilles, it was amazing. It was just, you couldn't do anything other than stare and be shocked that there was a human being on the court doing everything that he was doing.
Well, we think he's a human being. He might not be. Yeah.
Who knows? He might actually be the forgotten monster. He still has a little bit of the talent left.
Hey, man, there's a reason why he's gonna help the Looney Tunes go get another win here whenever that movie comes out. But yeah, it was. I'm glad you brought up the point of his defense. And for me, it seemed to be. I mean, LeBron was kind of doing his thing, but there was a moment. I think it was in the second quarter. he didn't get a call that he really wanted, and he was upset. He was very upset about it, and it's like that kind of lit the fuse for him, and it just seemed like his intensity kind of cranked up a little bit after that. And yeah, he was engaged on defense, and that was the thing that jumped out to me was, it's like, man, this team, you know, I know Portland scored 117 points tonight, but there were, you know, some key, I mean, a lot of possessions that I thought the Lakers were really sound defensively, and a lot of it had to do with, hey, LeBron's actually trying on that end for the first time, what seems like the first time all year. I mean, Portland shot 44% from the field, 42% from the three-point line, and I feel like a pretty large chunk of that was in the first quarter. Portland really got off to a pretty quick start. I think at one point they were up 45-32. I think that was what the score was. I remember it was 13 points, and then the Lakers, Lakers really, it was, I mean, LeBron leading the charge in that second quarter with a couple of, you know, hit a few threes in that second quarter and gave the Lakers a lead going into the half. And I thought that was huge because I thought they hadn't played particularly well. I thought they kind of played well in spurts, but overall I was like, you know, kind of worried the game was going to get away from them a little bit. And, you know, LeBron just made sure, I mean, he, like I said, he just kind of flipped a switch because he wasn't happy with that call that he didn't get. And it totally flipped the game. I mean, the Lakers went on a big run to end the second quarter, got the lead going to the half. And then it just kind of seemed like they, you know, controlled the game most of the way after that. And yeah, it was amazing seeing, you know, LeBron's first like vintage LeBron game as a Laker. And, you know, like you said, it's been a while since we've seen that, you know. I mean, in a way, it almost feels natural, I guess, because like for us, you know, for like our age group, we grew up watching the Lakers always having a dominant player, whether it was Shaq in our early years and then Kobe and, you know, Jody Meeks for a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. but yeah, I mean, in a way, it feels kind of natural. And it was amazing to see. LeBron was just hot. He was hot today, man. I mean, shooting the ball. I kind of joke because he missed. There was a pair of free throws he missed, I think, in the second quarter. And I was just like, he should just shoot his free throws from the three-point line because he's just scorching the net from out there. But yeah, it started to kind of lock in there. And I think he said as much after the Hawks game that he's, you know, he's going to get his rhythm back. You know, he said he was garbage. And if LeBron James is acknowledging that he's garbage, I just say watch out to the rest of the NBA. So, but LeBron James
is garbage, I got to go dig my own grave.
Yeah, I mean, I'm done, man. There's nothing left to pursue if LeBron is garbage. I'm never picking up a basketball again, that's for sure. But yeah, LeBron scored 44 points tonight and passed Wilt Chamberlain for fifth all time on the all-time scoring list. What's wild to me is the Lakers now have five out of the top six all-time scoring of players on the all-time scoring list. Five out of the top six played for the Lakers at one point. Crazy. I mean, how spoiled are we?
Very spoiled. It's kind of crazy that the worst one out of that six is the one that didn't play for the Lakers.
Oh, I'm not going there. As a North Carolina fan, I cannot go there.
I'll go there for you.
This is going to be the first time on the pod that we ever fight.
All I'm saying is Michael Jordan just played against mailmen and plumbers.
Don't do this, honey. Not right now. But yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, the thing that I immediately thought of when he passed Wilt was, we just did this a couple years ago with Kobe. You know, like that's the crazy thing is that, you know, just this era of talent that we're witnessing, you know, because one day it's going to be Kevin Durant, or it might be Steph Curry or Anthony Davis down the line. Like there's so many good players that we've been fortunate enough to see already in our lifetime. And, you know, I mean, I like to think that we're not very old. At least I don't think I'm that old, even though every birthday that comes around, I feel older, But no, it's just crazy because, like I said, we went through this a few years ago with Kobe. We're seeing it with LeBron now climbing the ranks, and who knows where LeBron will end up. I mean, if he keeps kind of defying Father Time, who knows? Who knows if he can get in that top two and catch Karl Malone or Kareem? And, you know, it's going to be tough. But, and I mean, we're also seeing it with Dirk. You know, Dirk is right there behind him. So, you know, it's crazy. It's just crazy to see, to witness history and to have so much of that elite history in terms of the scoring list be all guys that played for the Lakers, except for Michael, which, I mean, MJ, what are you doing, man? You got to get to the Lakers at some point in your career. Can we get him a 10-day just so we can say the top six?
Just sign Kwame alongside him. We'll see how that works out.
We already went through that nightmare once, honey. We don't need to do that again. I wonder what Smush Parker's up to these days.
We need a backup point guard.
Oh, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Besides LeBron, I guess what was kind of another big thing that you took away from this game? I mean, obviously LeBron dominated, but there were some bright spots, you know, here and there from some other guys. Who kind of jumped out at you with their performance tonight?
In terms of players, I think Brandon Ingram was really good. They kind of went to him early on because he was getting CJ McCollum guarding him, put him in the post. And I think three of the first four Lakers possessions, I want to say, they went to Ingram in the post. First one, he drained a jumper. Second one, he drew a foul. And third one, he dished it off to JaVale for a layup, I believe. So they had a lot of success going to that early. They went away from it a little bit because of, obviously, LeBron going hot. But Ingram finished with 17 points. He didn't shoot it exceptionally well. Mostly in the second half, I think he got a little cold. So he shot 6 of 15. He hit one catch-and-shoot three, but he did take three of them, which, you know, I've kind of been on the record wanting him to shoot more and more threes. He also had 4 assists, a couple rebounds. It wasn't the perfect game, but considering kind of where he's been the last few games where he's kind of looked a little uncomfortable playing alongside LeBron, I think today was a really, really good sign for what he's going to be moving forward and hopefully getting his confidence a little higher as the season goes on.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ingram definitely had some bright spots. And I just overall, I think defensively this year, I'm just so pleased with what I've been seeing from him. I think there were a number of possessions that on CJ McCollum that he just did a fantastic job. And CJ is a guy that has just killed the Lakers. I mean, really, ever since he's been in the league, him and Dame together, I mean, we're a big reason why that winning streak that Portland had over the Lakers. I mean, they were a big part of that. I mean, you know, and, you know, I mean, CJ, like those two guys, they're going to get theirs, right? You know, you're not going to shut those guys down. You know, they're just naturally, I mean, they can fill it up. They're scorers and, you know, they're very talented players and can do a lot of things. But I think Ingram did a pretty good job most of the night, making McCollum really work for some shots and hit some tough shots. And you live with some of those, you know, I mean, he hit, you know, like some long twos that were contested. And it's like, hey, if guys are making those, I mean, that's the shot you want them to take. You want them to take long twos, and especially if they're contested, that's great. And, you know, I thought Ingram did a really solid job defensively and really just continues to show his potential on that end. Offensively, I mean, I think the usage was a little better tonight. I would still like to see them get back to more of the form that we saw in the preseason, where it's a lot of him coming off of cuts and curls and you know, things like that, kind of, you know, just kind of getting him more engaged away from the basketball and getting him some easier opportunities. Because I think that's why LeBron and Kuzma work so well, is when LeBron is kind of operating, you know, with the basketball in his hands, Kuzma is so good at, you know, kind of anticipating when he needs the space or when he needs to cut. And I think that's why those two have worked well together, because I think we've seen Kuzma get a number of easy buckets just from, you know, noticing the defense is paying so much attention to LeBron, and he'll just slip behind him and get an easy bucket because LeBron, I mean, you get open, LeBron's going to find you. So I'd like to see Ingram do that a little bit more. And I don't know if it's necessarily him or just kind of the structure overall of the offense. I don't know if they're just trying to, because I mean, I noticed a lot in this game too, that Portland was switching quite a bit. You know, there's a couple times they get Nurkic on LeBron. And when that happens, I mean, you know, they just clear it out. And I don't blame them for that, because there's no way Nurkic can keep up with LeBron. Yeah. I mean, really all he can do is allow LeBron to score and then try and mock him with a fake tears or baby thing that whatever he did tonight. I get it. Like, I'd be bitter too if a dude ended my life with like one of the most ridiculous posterizations I've ever seen, especially on my home court. But hey, Nurkic, just calm down, man. But you know, I mean, I'd like to, like I said, I would just like to see Ingram a little more active away from the basketball and get him some easier looks, especially, you know, especially early on in the game, kind of get him in a rhythm. It's kind of like, I guess it would be kind of like, you know, football, like the NFL. Like, you see a lot of times early in the game, offensive coordinators will call plays that are just quick passes for their quarterback, kind of rhythm throws, just get him a couple quick completions, nice and easy, even if they're only a couple yards. Just kind of get him going a little bit. I like to see the Lakers do that a little bit for Ingram, because I think when he's engaged and active offensively, this is kind of a different team, you know, I think in a good way. And you mentioned, you know, wanting Ingram to shoot more threes. I totally agree with that. You know, when he settles for like long twos off the dribble and stuff like that, it's a little frustrating, because it's, you know, like, don't settle for the 20 footer, just take the, you know, the 3-pointer, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, definitely some bright spots. I thought Lonzo played pretty well tonight. You know, yeah. I thought his energy was much better. And that's kind of been my thing with him, is his energy and activity level has been inconsistent this year, which is unfortunate, because when he's active, he can impact the game in so many ways, and he doesn't need the basketball to do it, you know? Right. So, I mean, I was pleased with Lonzo, and I want to give one more shout out to KCP.
Yeah.
I think the last couple of games, last three games, he's really started to knock down shots. And when they're getting production out of him, you know, I that helps the second unit so much. Especially if Josh Hart is out there with him, you know, to get that second guy that's a 3-point threat. What do you think, you know, KCP, I guess is KCP's kind of recent like shooting success? We saw it a lot last year. I mean, do you think it's sustainable with this group, or do you think it kind of fizzles out a little bit, or, you know, this is just kind of like a short little burst that we're seeing, or what's going on with that?
I mean, it's a little bit of both. Obviously, he's not going to shoot 75% from three like he did tonight.
Not with that attitude, he's not.
But, you know, I think we talked about this on a podcast a week or so ago, where we were talking about how none of us really expected him to continue struggling. He was really, really bad the first week, 2 weeks of the season. He started to pick up his form. His shooting's going, his shots are going down a little bit more. His defense looks better. I think KCP is a really, really important piece to this team. There's always the potential that he gets traded because of the contract that he has. But if he's not, he's kind of like a perfect 3-and-D wing, which is something this team doesn't really have a whole lot of. Mm-hmm. And he's somebody that can fit in on any lineup, because he doesn't need the ball. All he does is spot up or run off screens and take threes. And if he's engaged defensively, he can be a really impactful player. And you saw that today. He was getting into passing lanes, getting a couple of steals, hitting his shots. That's perfect. That's exactly what the Lakers need from him. And tonight he was legitimately a huge part of why they won this game.
Yeah, last three games for KCP, he played 18 minutes against Sacramento, 16 minutes against Atlanta, and then 17 minutes tonight. 11 points, 11 points, 13 points tonight, and the three-point shooting. 2-for-7 against Sacramento, 3-for-6 against Atlanta, and then 3-for-4 tonight. So, I mean, you look at the scoring total, and it doesn't look like anything major, but just getting that production, especially in, you know, 18 minutes or less, to have him come in and hit three threes, that's huge in terms of spacing, you know, what the Lakers can do with that extra spacing in terms of their execution, you know, sets that they can run off of that, and just a lot of things. And I think, especially because the second unit, I feel like, has struggled quite a bit at times this year, and it's been a real detriment. So, you know, I think getting KCP out there with Hart, you know, having two shooters is very beneficial, especially if they're out there with Rondo, because you saw Portland tonight quite a bit just sagging off of Rondo and just daring him to shoot. Yeah. Right. And he was early and he was not making shots, and it was frustrating. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to be a trend that we'll see whenever Rondo comes back, and we'll talk about his injury in a second, but and that's not his game. And I think he understands that, but I mean, at a certain point you have to take those shots. But if you get, you know, the shooting out of KCP and Hart, and like Kuzma, or, you know, however the rotations are staggered and, you know, things like that, that's a big deal. That's a big deal for the second unit, because the Lakers were kind of getting that with Lance Stephenson early on. Lance was just like shooting out of his mind. It was like kind of crazy. Like that Phoenix game, I was just like blown away with his shooting performance. But, you know, we saw this last year with KCP after the whole like legal issue was kind of wrapped up. You know, he was really good. Like, people kind of overlooked him, but he was legit good shooting the basketball last year after that whole thing finally concluded. So, shout out to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Hopefully the shot keeps going like that, and he'll definitely get more minutes. You know, his minutes have been kind of a struggle this year, and there were some times he just really wasn't getting any minutes. So, that was an important part of tonight's game as well. And like you said, what he can bring defensively also really, really helps this team. So, all right. Well, you mentioned Rajon Rondo. If you haven't heard the news already, Rondo suffered a fractured hand in tonight's game and is expected to miss up to 4 weeks. So the Lakers will be without a backup point guard, it seems like, for about a month. We'll see if they call up one of the South Bay Laker guys or what they do to find a replacement. But Hani, I'll let you take this one first. What do you think the Lakers' kind of best option is to replace those minutes that are going to be available now that Rondo's out?
So, I mean, obviously, Lakers do rely on Rondo a decent amount as a backup point guard. He's somebody that, you know, he has his flaws. He's not a good defender. He's not a good shooter, but he's really good at orchestrating the offense, being a point guard, as Luke likes to call it. And they'll miss that sort of thing. Every player on this team raves about him in terms of his leadership and how he sets guys up. So they'll miss that. But I think there is a little bit of a silver lining or a blessing in disguise with how this injury might work out for the Lakers, in that I think it might force Luke's hand into staggering Ingram and LeBron's minutes a little bit more. Luke was really pleased with how Ingram played last year when Lonzo was out, because they put him as the point guard, basically. He was a nominal point guard. He was the guy setting up the offense without Lonzo on the court. And it was something that he was really good at. He excelled at it, especially relative to expectations. And I think by staggering their minutes a little bit, now that Rondo's out, it's going to give Ingram the opportunity to kind of run with the bench mob, gives them a little bit more responsibility, lets him have the ball in his hands a little bit more. And I think that's going to do a lot of good for his confidence. He's going to be a little bit more of an impactful player if he's not playing next to LeBron for, you know, pretty much all of his minutes. I think it hurts not having Rondo out there, and they're going to have to, you know, bring up probably one of the South Bay guys, either Alex Caruso. Isaac Bonga is apparently lighting up the G League right now, so maybe bring him in, and he can be your backup point guard a little bit. But I think Ingram's going to be the guy they look to leading that second unit most of the time.
Well, it's going to be really awkward when we call it Bonga and LeBron comes off the bench, because Bonga is the greatest player in the history of the game. But no, I would like to see, I mean, obviously the rotations are going to have to be staggered in some way. And I think it's going to be, I mean, in terms of replacing Rondo's production, and, you know, Rondo's not the most popular player, but I think he's, you know, an important piece to this team still at that backup point guard spot. But I think it's just making up that production is just going to be by committee. I think it's going to be a number of things. I think you're going to see probably a number of guys kind of play that point guard role, so to speak. And, you know, I think Lonzo will probably play more. I think you'll probably see Lance play like some, I think they'll at least experiment with Lance Stephenson playing point guard off the bench. I mean, I don't know how that'll go exactly, but I mean, I could see it going well because he played well early in the season. And I think, you know, if he can kind of, you know, take that point guard role, you know, seriously, kind of be a distributor a little bit more so, and not really a guy that kind of kills ball movement and dribbles too much, because he does do that at times. I think that could be really interesting if he just kind of embraces that role. But yeah, I think Caruso is going to get some minutes. Caruso's been, you know, a fairly reliable guy, you know, in these kind of situations where if the Lakers needed somebody, they could call him up. And, yeah, you know, he can do some, you know, some things. I think he can play a little defense. He can, you know, provide some scoring, some offense. And I think, I mean, honestly, I'd like to see Ingram get most of that. You know, I'd like to see point Ingram a lot more with that second unit and really stagger the rotations. Yeah. I'm curious to see if, you know, playing some of these wing guys or these off guard guys at point guard, if that opens up some minutes for Svi Mykhailiuk. What do you think about that? Because I think having an extra shooter out there, and he hasn't shot the ball particularly well yet from the 3-point line, but Svi's shown that he can do, you know, some other things besides just shoot the basketball. But, you know, the right. Lakers went with a 10-man rotation tonight, and with Rondo out, I think, you know, there's going to be have to be a guy or two that steps up into that role. And I don't think Svi's going to play point guard or anything, but I think with other guys playing a little bit out of position, it's a good opportunity for him to kind of step up in that second unit and you know, fill a role as a wing shooter.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think he's going to get a ton of playing time by any means, but I think a game or two, you're going to see him out there. And Luke's going to try to test him out. I think a few games ago, Luke was even talking about how they trusted Svi to even play a little bit of point guard because he does it with the Ukrainian national team. I don't know how I feel about that against NBA talent, but, you know, I don't mind experimenting with this sort of stuff. And I think it's giving different looks to opposing defenses, whether it's, you know, Svi playing point guard or whatever else. I think that's a really good idea, especially this early in the season when they're kind of still trying to figure out who they are as a team. But yeah, I would love for Svi to get some minutes and hopefully get some shots to go so his confidence goes up a little bit. Because ideally, even by the end of the season, he could be somebody that can contribute, you know, five minutes or so here and there.
Yeah, no, it'd be nice to see, and especially because I mean, if the Lakers can add, you know, get him kind of going as the season progresses and get him to start hitting those threes like we saw him do, you know, his whole career at Kansas. That would be a big and very, very welcome addition, you know, to the second unit, is to have another guy out there that can shoot. And, you know, we've seen Svi, you know, like I said, do some other things. I've been kind of pleasantly surprised with his skill set overall that I don't think we saw a ton of at Kansas. And, you know, I think he can do, you know, some other things besides shoot the ball. But, you know, even if he is just kind of that guy that spaces the floor and hits open threes when he gets them, that's valuable. You know, that adds a lot of value, and we'll see how Walton kind of staggers the rotation. You know, the Lakers used up the last open roster spot on Tyson Chandler. So if they want to go out and get another guy, they'd either have to make a trade or they'd have to cut somebody. I don't think that they'll do that. It's not that drastic of an injury. It's not like a season ending injury.
Yeah.
I mean, unless the Lakers play the Rockets again soon and Rondo runs out there and punches Chris Paul with his broken hand, who knows? But it's not drastic enough to where I think the Lakers will get rid of somebody and go pick up another point guard. I think they'll just kind of – it'll be by committee, and Luke will kind of experiment. And I'm fine with Luke experimenting with that position, with that backup point guard spot.
Right.
But my man, just have a shorter leash. Like, I totally get experimenting with the lineup still, you know, in the early stages of the season. I just wish one of my things with Walton obviously is the rotation and stuff, but just have shorter leashes with some of these experiments, because sometimes they go very, very badly and he rides them a little too long.
I do think he did a pretty good job with that tonight, by the way.
Yeah.
He took out the bench unit in the fourth quarter and put in his starters when he felt like the lead was a little shaky. And he pulled Lance out when he took that in transition pull up three. He had like three other open people around him. I don't know what that was, and he bricked it. But he pulled Lance out like immediately after that. So I was happy with Luke having a little bit of a short leash, like you said.
Yeah, Lakers Twitter was a little more calm on Luke Walton today. So that's how you know he probably did a decent job.
Lonzo Ball closed out the game. It might be because Rondo broke his hand, but he closed out the game.
Hey, whatever gets us there, man. Yeah, I think that's an important thing, too, is to get Lonzo those opportunities to close out games. But I hope Lonzo doesn't necessarily take it for granted.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, Rondo's out, so I'm going to close no matter what. It's like, I still want to see Lonzo bring that consistent energy and, you know, be engaged from start to finish. I mean, on a nightly basis, you know, and I mean, it's a thing that, you know, we've seen with young players before, you know. I mean, it's kind of the same thing with D'Angelo Russell, right? Yeah. You know, that was my big thing, my frustrating thing with him. And you know, I'm a big D'Angelo Russell guy. And like, I think he's a very talented player, but just the engagement level, you know, is inconsistent. And I want to see Lonzo kind of shake that habit, because I think, you know, even without scoring the ball, even without having the ball in his hand, I mean, he can impact the game in so many different ways. I just, you know, as long as he's active and he's just locked in and focused mentally, I mean, he can have a big impact, and I think he's going to improve as the season goes on. And this is a big moment. I mean, this is a big month for him, you know, to be able to, you know, step up in this moment when Rondo is out, and we're going to see what, you know, what he's got, you know, and hopefully he steps up and he kind of relishes the opportunity, and it'll be fun to see. It'll be fun to see. So, all righty. Well, I think that's going to do it for us in terms of tonight. So let's take a quick look ahead of the upcoming schedule for the Lakers. They, after that brutal start to their season, I mean, the schedule lightens up a little bit, and we've kind of seen it here recently. I mean, they were 2-5, and now they climbed all the way to 8-6. Side note, the Warriors, Kevin Durant, future Laker, play Houston tomorrow, so that'll be interesting. But the Lakers are back in action on Saturday. We talked about this before we went on. It's kind of weird seeing so many Saturday games, but they play at Orlando, a little three-game trip for the Lakers here. They play at Orlando, at Miami on Sunday, and then they play at Cleveland. LeBron's return to Cleveland for a second time next Wednesday before the Lakers come back home to play the Jazz, who lost by 50 points today to the Dallas Mavericks somehow. So, Utah, bring that same energy when you play in LA.
Yeah, definitely. A real hashtag didn't lose by 51 sort of game from Utah tonight. I know Lakers fans are supposed to hate the Celtics more than anybody else, but God, I hate the Utah Jazz so much.
The Jazz are like top three most hated teams in the NBA for me. And that's because like I live in Boise, so Utah is like the closest NBA city. So I, you know, my childhood was filled with a lot of Lakers at Jazz games, and those fans suck. Any Jazz fans watching this pod, I don't even care. You guys suck.
I enjoy the hell out of any bad moment the Jazz have so much. Like, this is, I'm really happy about LeBron going off and the Lakers beating the Blazers and all that, but I'm way happier about the Jazz losing.
Oh, yeah. So, after the Lakers will get the Jazz after this little three game road trip. And, honey, we talked on the last pod about the four-game stretch starting with tonight's game against Portland and then Orlando, then Miami, then Cleveland, and trying to win, I guess, at least two of those four. With this performance tonight, has your stance on that changed at all? I mean, are you thinking still if we can get one of these next three, that's kind of a successful four-game stretch? Or are you kind of switching the mindset that it's got to be at least two out of three?
I mean, Portland was one of the games I was chalking up as a loss, per se. Like, it was definitely the toughest game out of that set. So I think they're better than the other three teams that they're playing, so they should win those games. Mm-hmm. All of them pose their own different challenges. Like, Orlando's not really a pushover team. Plus, they have bigs who can shoot the ball, and that's going to be an issue with JaVale and Tyson. So that's going to be interesting. Miami, they've been struggling a little bit, but they're a really good defensive team. They can hurt you in a lot of ways. And then Cleveland, like, again, not a good team at all by any means, and they're injured like crazy, but it's an emotional game and you just never know what happens. So any one of those could be a loss, but like, you know, the odds are that it should be another three wins to add to that. You know, like I think the one most likely they lose to is Miami because it's the second night of a back-to-back. And they're probably going to Miami the night before, and God, who knows what's going to happen there. But
and the thing that worries me about that game, obviously, besides the Miami nightlife on a Saturday night or whatever, it's such an early start time. You know, it's a Sunday game, but that game starts at 3 p.m. Pacific time. You know, so it's earlier than you would normally see. And like you said, second night of a back-to-back, and Miami is a capable team. You know, they're not a great team, but they're capable. For me, I still think the Cleveland game is going to be a win. They're not a good team, and mm-hmm. I just can't see LeBron going in there and losing. So to me, like, I'd be really disappointed if they get one out of three. Well, not really disappointed. Really disappointed would be going 0-3. Yeah. But I'd be disappointed with 1-3. I would be satisfied with 2-1 on this three-game trip because I'm chalking up the Cleveland game as a win, which means they're going to lose it now. But
I think we already gave that game to Dylan to tweet.
I just think they're going to win that game. And then if they go 3-0, I'll be ecstatic because that'll get them to 11-6. And that would be great coming home for four of the next five to end November being at home. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. It'll be fun to see them kind of handle this first little East Coast swing and see how they kind of handle that. And big opportunity for them. It sucks that they are going to be down their backup point guard, but you know, I think they've got the bodies and the capabilities to really make up for the loss and get the job done here. So big three-game trip coming up for them. We will definitely be around to recap it. You know, we will probably be around Sunday night to recap the weekend of games, kind of like how we did last weekend. So that'll be Orlando and Miami. Hani, anything else you wanted to touch on before we sign off?
Just a reminder that the Nevada Wolfpack are ranked sixth in the nation and are 2-0.
I will finish this podcast by myself, I swear to God. There will be no shout out on this podcast if Hani keeps us up. All right. Yeah, we're definitely done now with that. like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, if you like the pod, subscribe to us on YouTube, Podbean, and iTunes. And if you subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a review. That helps us out tremendously, and we would greatly, greatly appreciate it. And as always, you can find all of our content on LakersOutsiders.com. You can find us or follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram as well. All that fun stuff. So, Hani, congratulations on another win. I'm glad your favorite NBA team won today.
Yes, sir.
And
back at you.
Hopefully the wins keep on rolling as the Lakers head out east. So this has been fun. I want to thank everybody that's tuned in and followed along live here. And if you're listening to this on iTunes the next day, thank you as well. And we will see you guys again. Looks like later this weekend for some East Coast Laker action, but that'll do it for tonight. So for Hani Amadian, I am Gary Kester signing off.
Shout out Steve Blake.